Yo, what's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 47 of Buzzer Beaters. I'm Idiot Baricio. This is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlingsMedia.com, or you can find us at any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, X, Facebook, you name it, whatever suits you, you can find us. Just go ahead and find us by typing in GremlingsMedia.com. Anyway, if this is your first time seeing us, we are live, and we are live here every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And we are here live because we want to hear from you. We want to get your questions, your comments. We enjoy the banter that you guys put up here every now and then. But our intent is to go about an hour to an hour and a half each show, and we've been kind of more towards the hour and a half. We're primarily a basketball podcast with an emphasis on the NBA. We do dibble and dabble in NCAA as well as WNBA, but NBA is our thing. So what we're going to go ahead and do is we have three topics that we're going to go ahead and cover. We're going to continue coverage of the NBA playoffs. We're currently in the second round. We're going to go ahead and talk about each of those four series, and they're off to a great start, right? I mean, this has been must-see TV, man. There's been some great games. Then we're going to go ahead and dovetail into the four teams that have been eliminated already, you know, from the first round. We're going to go ahead and talk about our assessments of each of those teams, what's needed and so forth for them to get back into contention next year. Then the final segment is actually something that Tuan actually had an idea about. And, you know, we got together for lunch last week. And, you know, lo and behold, he brought up this interesting topic that we're going to go ahead and talk about more in the third segment. It's essentially trying to come up with some kind of, not a subjective way, but a more objective way of crowning who the greatest player of all time is using metrics and math, right? Yeah. So we went ahead and did that, and we're going to go ahead and go over that with you. And this is going to be, you know, something that, you know, we hope that could become something that everybody uses as a factor to determine the best player ever, right? But it's also to be able to kind of put a measuring stick on every player that even plays today to see how close they are to some of these players of greatness. So we're going to go ahead and introduce that topic. We have some examples. We'd love to get your participation. You know, if you can go ahead and post some of the player comparisons you'd like us to do. We've done a lot of them, but there's so many much more we have to do, right? And I can do so many per week, you know, on my own, but it would be great if we can go ahead and get your inputs as to who you would like us to go ahead and compare and contrast against the other. So we'll go ahead and go over that in the last segment. But let's go ahead and – before we get started, Tuan, what's been going on, man? How you been, man? Last week, right? We couldn't play poker, but I know, you know –
I didn't make poker for a variety of reasons. So for those of you that don't know, you know – I can be a little superstitious. Eddie can too. I was thinking about that earlier today, you know, like why am I superstitious about sports? Cause I'm not really superstitious about most things in life, but it's about sports. And, you know, the one thing that crossed my mind is, you know, for me, you know, I've never been a high level athlete. You know, I played in high school, I played in grammar school, and, you know, I played a little in college. But you know, nothing like as great as these players are. But, you know, the one thing, you know, I tell my kids, I tell everyone, like, everything I kind of learned in life was from playing sports. You know, how to share, how to cooperate, how to be a teammate, you know, how to win together, how to lose together. For me, sports is more than, you know, I don't get corny, but it's like life, you know. It's like everything I learned. So, you know, in my own weird way, when I create these superstitions, even though I know they're not real, it's my way of, like, psychologically thinking I'm helping my team win. Like, because, you know, obviously I can't really go out there and do anything, so... It's psychological. So along that vein, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, my wife had to do an offsite, and the offsite was here this time, and so she didn't really have to go anywhere. But they offered her, you know, a hotel room and a place to stay just so she could focus on some presentations that she had to do. So she went, took care of that. And when she came back, she's like, hey, man, you know, they got a pretty good little sports bar there or a bar. Maybe we should watch the game. And I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. So we go to game one against Houston to go watch it. Yep. And, of course, the Warriors win, right? Right. And then I'm like, okay. You know, kind of in the back of my mind, whatever. Game two, we didn't go. You know, it wasn't a thing. But they lose. And not only do they lose pretty horribly, right? Game two, they got smoked pretty good. So I'm like, hey, Gary, I think we better hit up that sports bar or that bar, you know, for game three. So we go to game three. They win. No problem. All right, cool. Let's go game four. Game four. They win. No problem. All right, cool. Right? So then game five comes. Now, game five was on a Wednesday. We had the podcast.
Yes.
We had a couple of things going. Yes. It was an early game here in the West Coast. It was a 4:30 p.m. game.
Right.
You know, so I say, all right, let me shoot over there. Now, one thing about this bar, it's not a sports bar. I keep saying sports bar. It's just a bar and yep. with TVs. And the people that go there, it's more like a corporate hotel. So, you know, people there aren't really like sports people. You know, three of us that watch. Yep. But I liked it. You know, I don't want to be overcrowded. I just kind of want a couple of people to share the experience.
I hear you.
So we go, and we get there at 4:15, and it's crowded. I mean, Eddie, it is jam-packed with people. They don't have the game on, okay? And I'm like, yo, can I put the game? But it's not the usual bartender that was there the last couple of times I've been there, some other guy. He doesn't know how to change the TV. He's like, we got to wait. And I'm like, I got to leave in like an hour. I'm getting pissed, right? So I'm like, you know what? Let's just go back home. So we go back home. Boom. They get smoked. They lose, right? So then I'm like, all right, yeah, we got to go to the next game. So we're planning to go. Eddie's like, hey, we're going to have poker. You want to come by? I'm like, well, let me hit the bar. And then after the bar, I'll go catch poker. So that's the plan, right? So we're going to do that. And all of a sudden, my youngest daughter, she's going to a music major, sound engineering major.
Yep.
And one of them is like, you have to take like an instrument class. So she's taking a piano class. So she's like, Dad, I have my recital on Friday. And I'm like, oh. You know, and being a dad, for those of you that are dads out there, you know, when you hear this, you know, when you're younger, you know, they got recitals, they got practice, they got all this stuff. And you're like, you know, you got to do it. You got to haul there. You got to move there. When you get older, you're like, man, how many more opportunities am I going to have, you know, to actually attend these type of things? So I'm like, you know what? All right. I'll give up the dubs. I'll go. And I go, and I'm, you know, taking sneak peeks during the recital. They're getting smoked. So I'm like, damn it. Right? So then Sunday, I'm like, it's a must go. So we go Sunday. So our record during the Houston series, we were 4-0 at the bar. Every time we went to the bar, Dubs won. And mind you, we went yesterday, right, as well.
Yep.
So
yep.
we're 5-0 at the bar, one with Minnesota, 4-1. So that happened. You know, we did catch the recital. She did an awesome job. I was really proud.
Right on, man.
It was really cool. But, a little bit of background on what that was.
No, I hear you, dude. And you know what's funny is that, you know, I'm the same exact way, man. We talked about it in the last podcast that, you know, when you play sports, you become superstitious. You have certain routines, right? We talked about Wade Boggs eating chicken all the time, right?
Yeah.
Now, for me, it's kind of like once something works, I got to continue doing it.
Got to keep
doing
it.
Sometimes I forget, right? Like, because, you know, we kind of got off our little routine, our little, our mojo thing. We stopped doing it once they lost, when we actually did it and they still lost. We're like, okay, we got to find something else, right? So anyway, poker night, I invite everybody over to come watch the game before we do poker, right? Because initially I had plans to do poker at 7 p.m. Pacific. And then, you know, we go ahead and have a midnight stop, right? But this time, since the Warriors were playing at 6, I just told everybody, come on over, man. We'll go watch the Warrior game together. I'll get, you know, Mexican food. I got, you know, burritos and quesadillas, all this stuff. And then we all watched the game together. And, of course, they could not come back, man. They were right there. They got tied a few times. And then they ended up losing that game, right?
Yeah.
So then I told those guys, I go, bro, it was nice having you guys over. But you guys are never going to come over and watch a game over my house ever again.
Yeah, that's it. This particular group is bad.
That's it. You guys are done, man. You guys are bad luck, right? So we ended up playing poker till 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, some Manhattans are flowing. You know, and Manhattans did some damage on a few
Eddie
people, right? A few
Manhattan.
People actually, you know, got in, tried to do the goodbye without trying to say goodbye to anybody. They just left. And we were like, where did this guy go? And one of them left their phone behind in our house, right? So then, you know, one of the guys is, this guy left his, I'm going to go walk it to his house, right? So I'm like, no problem, we'll do that. So I'm staying at home, and then I get this call about 10 minutes later from the guy who brought the phone over to the guy. And he's like, hey, you know, his son answered the door, and he said it never came home. And I'm like, oh, really? So this guy wandered off into the wilderness, out in the street. We have no idea where he went, right? So we go looking around in the park. We start calling out his name. We're walking, driving around the neighborhood. And mind you, I've had a few drinks. I probably shouldn't have done that, but I wasn't lit, right? I drink a lot of water in between my Manhattans and drinks, right? So that kind of keeps that, you know, one drink buzz the entire night. But anyway, we ended up about 10 minutes driving around, going to the park, screaming his name, waking up the neighbors. This is like 1:30 in the morning, mind you, bro. All right? We're spitting.
You're making enemies in the neighborhood, bro.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally. And it was quiet. It was very quiet. So anyway, my neighbor who was with me to go help look for this guy, he's like, you know what? I have a feeling that the son just didn't see him come home. So let's just go back and just have him go check in his bedroom. Sure enough, he went to go check in his bedroom, and there he was, passed out, man.
Oh,
so
you guys made a ruckus for nothing.
We made a ruckus for nothing, man. So that was my Friday night, but I understand the whole, you know, regimen, because now in game one yesterday against the Minnesota Timberwolves, I went to my buddy Mike Sullivan's, right, in his house. Yeah. And, dude, I mind you, the last series against Houston, I think it was like game one, I think it was the last time I went to his house to go watch the game, and they won. So then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just see if we can just run this again. And I'm going to go watch the game at his house, and sure enough, they won. So tomorrow, you're going to the bar, and tomorrow, I'm going to Mike's, man. Because they need all the mojo they can get right now, bro.
Yeah.
But we'll go ahead and, you know, we'll go into it, because we got a lot to cover. So let's go ahead and go through the slides. So the first thing we'll cover is kind of like the standings of our playoff brackets, which we currently, you know, had a point system where I assigned 1 point if you get the team right that wins, and then you get 2 points if you go ahead and get the game that they won, right? So you can see right now, and right now I have a score of 13, and Tuan has a score of 5. Tuan is the top one, the top bracket, on the bottom one. And it's then
both again.
You can see, though, in the East, I haven't lost a game yet. I mean, I haven't lost a series yet. I picked a few of the ones that are kind of marked in green font. Those, I got them in the right amount of games. So that's why you see a 3 under there. That's because it's 3 points when you do that. You only get 1 point if you get the actual team right, right? But if you get the game wrong, then you don't get any points. You just get 1 point.
Correct.
Now, one thing that we probably should do, like we do in the NCAA brackets pool, bro, is that we should probably put more points in the next round, right? So that, you know, it's not such a big discrepancy. So what I'm proposing to do is, for each win that you get in the second round, that's worth 2 points, right? For the team that you get right. And then you'll get 3 points in addition if you get the game right. So that's a total of 5 points that you can get for each one, right? Okay. Then, you know, for the one after that, we'll go ahead and do the same thing. We'll increase it to, you know, maybe 4 points. And then 6 points or something like that. 6 points if you get the right games, and then 4 points if you get the team right. And then, you know, we'll continue doing it like that. So we'll just see, because I don't want it to be that much of a discrepancy. I want you to catch up and make it more exciting, more fun. Plus, we got lunch on this, bro. Right.
Well, I'm not looking too good, because half the Cleveland starters are out.
Yeah.
And that's not good for me. You know?
I had
Detroit over the Knicks. I lost that one.
Yep.
Right? So I'm hurting a little bit here. I had the Clippers beating the Nuggets, as did you.
Lost that one. Yep. And then you lost the Lakers and Wolves.
I had the Lakers win. So, man, I'm hurting right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, we're going to go ahead and go through each series. But, I mean, let's dovetail into the first one. Let's go to the first one that we want to talk about. So I know that the first one that we're going to cover is this Cavs versus the Pacers. The very first one that you had. So there we go. Cavs versus the Pacers. Now, this one, you know, we both picked the Cavs to win this.
Yes.
And, you know, you picked them in six. I picked them in six. Now, the Cavs are down 2-0. They're down 0-2. The Pacers, you know, we talked about them in the past podcast. If you look how balanced this team is, man. And by the way, for those of you who have not seen our past podcast, I'm just going to go ahead and show you what you're seeing. I'm going to talk about what you're seeing here. So you're going to see here that we have a point system that is, it's the same as what a fantasy basketball league typically does. But this is kind of like the FanDuel DraftKings kind of model, where you points are points, and then you go ahead and assign 1.2 points for rebounds, 1.5 points for each assist, and then 3 points for steals and blocks. And what you can see there, you see the minutes. That's what you see in one of the categories. Then you see FPT, that's a fantasy point total. And then you go ahead and have this fantasy points per minute, which is a barometer to kind of help, you know, for those of you who play, you know, some of these daily fantasy games, that it's a good metric for you to determine where you want to put that money, right? When you have so much money to spend for a certain player to put in your roster. So what you're seeing here is a cumulative. And this is for all the games that have been played, including the round one games. So you can see right now, Tyrese Haliburton is the guy. He's at 321.3 points if you accumulate all of his stats and then put a point system to it.
Yep, right? Got it.
So he's the total. But you can see it on game one, he scored 56.1 points, right? So and he had that the and in game two, he wasn't the guy. Is actually the Miles Turner was the guy as far as points winning, right? The most points. So you can see they're a very balanced team, and for that reason, they're a very dangerous team where they're not really reliant on one guy. And in the first series, bro, you know, we didn't show all of the games for the Pacers. But in the first four games, there's a different guy who actually had the most points, and the best fantasy points per minute was distributed as well. That's what makes this team very dangerous. They're hard to guard, man, because there's a lot of guys that play
One thing I like to look at really quick when I'm just kind of glossing over, I look at it vertically, and for the fantasy points per minute, I look who's in the one range, right? How many people in the one range do you have?
There's a lot.
So you can see the Pacers starters have four of the five starters in the one range. Which to me generates a lot of balance. You look at their bench. Two of the five bench players are in the ones.
Right.
So that's a pretty balanced team. Then you kind of shoot over for game one to the Cavs, right? And they have only two of the five starters that were in the ones and only one in the bench. So even though the score, you know, I mean, they won by, you know, by 8 points or 7 points or whatever, but, or 9 points, I should say.
And, yeah, 9 points in the second game.
And so, you know, they were really it was a much more balanced game. And then when you look at the second game for Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell had a hell of a game.
Look at that, 2.2 points per minute is crazy good, man.
Exactly, but outside of Jared Allen, no one was even in the 1 point range.
Right.
It was all Donovan Mitchell.
Yep, and you can see that the zeros there in the starting lineup is Darius Garland. He was out. Evan Mobley was out last game too. Yeah. And then DeAndre Hunter, who's the first guy coming off the bench, all three of those guys were out. And that hurts this team because this team is really deep. But if they're missing three key guys, their depth kind of gets really, really hit, right?
Well, so, Evan Mobley's defensive player of the year, so you're going to miss it on that front. You know, Darius Garland has been playing really well all year long, so that's going to hurt him. So we'll see. And just to point out for those that haven't been keeping close watch, the Pacers are up 2-0, and they did it at Cleveland, right? They won both games at Cleveland. So now they're going back to Indiana. To play at home. So, in my case, worst case scenario for the Pacers, they split the home games. Right, they win one and lose one. That means they come back 3-1 to Cleveland. You know, so it's an uphill battle for Cleveland going forward.
And you know, and we got to say too, because we've been calling out the guys that have won awards. Right, we haven't done a review of the end of season rewards. We did it earlier, you know, projecting who would win, but we got to congratulate Kenny Atkinson, you know, former Warriors assistant coach, left the Warriors to go be the head coach of the Cavaliers, his second stint as a head coach, because he used to coach the Brooklyn Nets some time ago.
Doing a good job there, by the way.
Yeah, he did a very good job there, and he did a very good job here, you know, because Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell were a backcourt that was struggling, you know, with the previous coach. And then he came over here and made these two click. And without Darius Garland at the helm, you know, for this team, they're vulnerable, man. They need him back. They need him back.
No, I agree. And if you go back to earlier shows, like before the season started, I was one that was, you know, they're going to trade Darius Garland. They might even trade Jared Allen, because Jared Allen and Mobley weren't exactly playing too good together. And he kept everyone and really made it. He really made him click. And, you know, I don't know what it would be like if Darius Garland has missed both games. You know, Mobley, in terms of starters, Mobley just missed the second game. You know, maybe they would have won that second game. Hard to say, or the first game with Darius Garland. But yeah, right now it's tough. But they've had a hell of a season.
Yeah, they've had a hell of a season. But you know, they're the worst cut out for them now, because you know the Pacers. You know, they struggled early on in the season, and they've gotten their crap together now, man. They got Aaron Nesmith back, and look at the game that he had last game. He had 41.3 total fantasy points in 39 minutes. It's 1.25, and that's not even the best on the team. The best on the team was 1.46 with Miles Turner, right, for game two, right? So, anyway, but, you know, I see this. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're going to get Evan Mobley back. They're going to get him back. I think Darius Garland is going to be back next game. They have to, or else it's going to be like ugly, right? This could go four if those guys don't get back, because the Pacers are a problem at home, man. And they're just a run and gun team, and they're very deep, man. You can see they run five deep, and all of these guys, you know, get more than almost 10 minutes each. You can see that they're a very deep team, man.
T.J. McConnell, I think, is a better player than his numbers stated in game one. more closer to game two. But TJ McConnell's been a pretty good little player himself.
He's a good little player, man. I'm surprised that Carlisle doesn't play him that much.
Well, dude, I mean, you got Mathurin, you got Obi Toppin. I mean, at some point, you got to, you know, someone's got to split minutes.
Someone's got to, man.
Someone's got to take the hit, so it's him.
Yeah. So, we're going to see what happens. Game three is tomorrow. So, actually, no, game three is not tomorrow. I think because they're traveling, it's going to be on Friday. So, we'll see what happens here. Hopefully, you know, this becomes a series and the Cavs at least take one on the road because they have to in order to still be in the series. Yeah. So, all right, man, let's go to the next one, bro. The next one is going to be the Knicks and the Celtics.
Yeah.
So, you know, surprisingly, you know, I think this might be the first time in history, bro, that all four road teams in the second round won game ones. I think that might be the first time it's ever happened. And it goes to show you that, you know, there's this balance, whether it's good for you to have the rest or it's good for you to keep going and playing because you have your rhythm, right? And every one of these guys who lost, you know, the Cavs, the Thunder, the Celtics, you know, the Wolves, they all had multiple days off before their next series in round two, and they all lost. So there's
In Indiana's case, they lost game one and game two. Cleveland's case.
Cleveland. Right? Yeah, they lost. Yeah, Cleveland lost to Indiana, but I'm saying that the first game, everybody, all the road teams won. And that's never happened, I don't think.
Man. Yeah.
So
no.
Anyway, this happened with the Knicks. The Knicks Celtics series has been really good. The Knicks came back all the way back in game one. And you know what's interesting is that they had the same formula again. They actually are ahead and they just won just game two today. The Knicks just took out the Celtics by 1 point.
Okay.
They just did the exact same thing again.
Yeah. You know? They just won. So both road teams are 2-0 in the East.
In the East, yes. Yeah. And it's interesting that, you know, we called out, you know, there's two teams that we called out that we didn't think they had enough stamina because of how many minutes their starters play that they're going to have a problem unless they find some other bench guys. One of them was the Knicks. The other one we'll talk about later, the Nuggets. But the Knicks, you can see, look at how many minutes those guys are playing, man. They play, you know, three of those guys played 45 minutes plus, right? So it's like
–
It's crazy, man. I mean, the amount of, you know, and actually, what's his name? Mikal Bridges had 51 minutes out of the total 53 or whatever, 52 minutes that there is.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy how much he played, man. So, you know, this team is dangerous, though, man. You know, and one of my cousins, you know, he's just texting me right now because he wanted to bet me about that the Knicks are the teams that's going to take out the Celtics because the Celtics are overrated. And I'm like, dude, I'll bet you on that, right? But then he kind of backed down. Now he's talking smack right now because I called it, right? Because the Knicks are 2-0.
Now he's calling it. I got you.
Yeah, now he's calling it now, right? So I'm like, hey, man, you know, go ahead. We should have put some money on it, but we didn't. But it's all right, man. But anyway, so the Celtics, you know, one of the things that we commented about the Celtics is that if they're not shooting their threes at a high clip, they're in trouble. And that's what happened in game one. They shot like 63 pointers in game one, man. And, you know, at a really bad percentage.
They missed 45 of them.
That's crazy, man. That's how bad it was, man. And the thing is, Kristaps Porzingis came out of the game. You know, he's fighting some illness, which I think has been on and off all of his, you know, the whole season. We don't know what it is. You know, I'm not going to say it. But, you know, him not being in the lineup is a problem, right? Because he is a matchup issue. But if he's not 100% and he's out there, that's also not the best thing for him either. But you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have proven to be a good dynamic duo when they're on, but the supporting cast for this team is like very legit, and I'm surprised that they're down 2-0, man, right now. And they were the team that's, you know, favored to win this. So
yeah, I've been one to anyone who's listened to previous episodes. I've been one. The Knicks are going to run out of gas. They have a good team. I've said it time and time again, but they're just going to run out of gas. And so far, they're holding up their own. And you know, there's an interesting stat. You know, the Knicks were 0-4 against the Celtics. The Knicks were 0-4 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, or at least 0-3. I don't know if they played them three times or four times. The Knicks hadn't really beat anybody of significant record,
right?
Pretty much all year long, and they saved it till these two games. So they're bucking the trend, you know.
It's amazing, man.
Well, kudos to Thibodeau. You know, maybe it's, you know, the one thing about these series that I really like that you don't get during the regular season is you really get the coaches to come out in this, because They can you know, draw plays, draw up diagrams specifically because they're playing the same team over and over again, expose right. weaknesses, expose strengths. So I'm going to give kudos to Thibodeau. You know, he's a big part in them winning these first two games. Obviously, the players are the ones that have to go out and execute. But yeah, I mean, I'm shocked. I'm shocked, you know, that Cleveland lost the first two. I'm shocked that the Celtics have lost the first two. And if Denver goes on and wins again today, I'm going to be shocked at that.
Exactly, man.
Oklahoma City's won the first two, so.
Yeah, yeah, but you can see, like, you know, as far as the fantasy perspective, Jalen Brunson has 327.8 points out of all the games he's played. That's, you know, higher than Tyrese Halliburton right now. As you know, and I have a slide later that shows the top 15 for each of these categories. But okay. You can see, look at the distribution of minutes on the bench, man. They essentially have a 7-man rotation against the 8-man rotation of the Celtics, right?
Correct.
The Celtics, correct. You would think, would have an advantage in that front, especially if they're playing at home. But, you know, it's the team that, you know, the Knicks have been scratching and clawing this whole series. You know, they played more games than the Celtics, and the Celtics seem to be, you know, maybe experiencing some rust, you know, and they're because they haven't played in a few days. But they, you know, they're the defending champs. I still think they're the team to beat. I picked them to win it. You also picked them to win it, but I picked this for the series. For this series,
you both picked the Celtics. Yeah, I picked.
But to win it all, you picked the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I picked the Celtics. And right now, we are both in jeopardy of losing.
Well, I had the Pistons playing the Celtics. So
yeah.
I didn't think. I thought the Knicks were going to run out of steam then. So.
Yeah. But anyway, man.
Kudos to them.
He's got,
you know, I will tell you this. You know, the Knicks being good, the Knicks playing well, as much as I hate all the media that, you know, they get and all the love, it's good for basketball. It's good when the Knicks are good. It's good when the Celtics are good.
It's good for basketball.
It's good when the Lakers are good. You know, it is good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, you know, now let me ask you something. Do you see what adjustments do you see that are needed by the Celtics in order to turn this back around?
My immediate is they need to attack the hoop more.
Yep. And Jalen Brown was definitely doing that a lot more today.
They did. So they need to do that. You know, as you and I have said many times before, you know, Tatum and Brown are the stars of this team, but the core, the bones, the structures is going to be White and Holiday, right? Yeah. These guys are the ones. And so, they need to, you know, they've been playing a lot of minutes. You know, Drew Holiday's a little bit on the older side. I don't think he's that old, but he's on the older side. So, you know, you gotta be careful with them and making sure that you're kind of allowing them to play their game a little bit and not making it so Tatum and Brown heavy.
Yeah, you know? But their rotation got disrupted because of Kristaps Porzingis experiencing this illness issue, because he didn't start today. He actually came off the bench. And that disrupts the flow. But, you know, next man up, right? The next man up's got to
But in fairness, Eddie, Porzingis was hurt for most of the playoffs last year. And Horford
stepped in. And
they still won it. So it shouldn't be that big of an impact. I mean, just have Horford start. And, you know, now Horford is older. I mean, I always say 38, 39. So.
He's 38, I think, is.
Yeah, yep. So him, you know, you got to take it easy on him. But that may be – maybe that's a difference between last year, right? He's a year younger, you know. I don't know how much a difference a year makes, but when you're getting older like we are, you know, a year may make a lot of difference.
Yeah. Man, this is surprising, man, this development. I never saw, this small rotation.
And the interesting part is, at least I could see the West being upset a little.
Yeah.
But the East, the Knicks, I mean, the Celtics and the Cavs just ran that conference the whole
year. They separated themselves against everybody else, like significantly. Right?
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
I mean, they were a 16-team win. 16 teams. The Cavs and the Celtics and the Thunder all won 60 games plus. So, and it's surprising that the Knicks are essentially, you know, have a stranglehold on the series right now, man. So, we shall see if this continues, man.
And they're going back to New York, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see all the Mike Lees and the Stephen A's and all those guys.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, man. So let's go to the West, man. So we got
the West.
So we're talking about the Thunder and the Nuggets. And again, you know, I have right here, Twan, you have the Thunder in 7. So you have an opportunity to pick up some points here, in this round, because I picked the Clippers to win to get into this, this round instead of the Nuggets. But the Nuggets have proven everybody that, you know, this coaching change seems to have woken this team up, man. You know, the Mike Malone being fired, we're like, oh, my God, what is this? What's this Bush League stuff in Memphis and then Denver, right? You know, and then all of a sudden, this team is playing really well. And now you're seeing, you know, the marquee matchup of the two probably finalists of the MVP vote, right? It's going to come down to these two, Nikola Jokic versus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you can see that they both showed up in game one. They both scored in the 60. Actually, they both scored in the – oh, I think I messed up in the points. Wait. Yeah, no, I got it. I just can't see very well without my glasses here. So they have 65 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and then 67.8 points for Nikola Jokic. And you can see from the game, in watching that game, Nikola Jokic seemed to be dominating that game, man. Yeah. And it was kind of sneaky that I wouldn't think that Shai would be that close to him from a, you know, stat accumulation standpoint, but he did. But Jokic, you know.
He surpassed him, really, in the stat accumulation in – fantasy points, but
But you know, the thing is, you can see he has 400 and is it 452? I can't see it very well.
482.7,
right? That's the total points that he has.
For the game,
though, he had 67.8.
And Jokic had 1.47.
Yep, for the
fantasy points. And by the way, just so we're clear, I want to look at that score because you left 112 with the win, and I think it was 132, 131, I think is what they won.
Yeah, so it should be. I messed up the score. I had a lot of things to kind of keep track of here, but yeah.
No,
I hear you. You're right. So the Nuggets won 112. I think it was 113 to 112. I think it was something like that. I forgot. But anyway, that should be. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to prepare for here, man. And it's easy to overlook some things, man. But I probably should send this before we go ahead and put it on there so you can edit it, man.
No
worries, man. So you can see like the Thunder, they throw out a pretty deep bench at the Nuggets, and the Nuggets that we
deepest in the league, in my opinion, Eddie.
The deepest in the league, deepest for sure.
In the league.
And the thing is that you can see like the Nuggets owner throwing out seven people just like the Knicks, right? Is this sustainable? I don't know, bro. I mean, they have to depend on Nikola Jokic being an all-world guy that he is each and every game for them to be competitive. And then one of these other guys that, on one of their other starters, Aaron Gordon, being one who's showed up big time in these playoffs, right? Because the last game,
Murray is the game winner.
He's got two game winners in two consecutive series, right? Yeah. In two consecutive, he's got game winners, right? But Nikola Jokic has played an all-world level, which he has been every freaking game. But then one of these other three or four other starters have to pick up the slack on offense. And sure, lo and behold, they have been doing it. Jamal Murray being the primary guy who's been carrying the load after Nikola Jokic, right? But I don't know, man. I see this going 1-1 tomorrow. The Thunder are just too deep of a team. They're one of these teams. I think they're just kind of fell asleep a little bit, maybe underestimated, but although that's kind of unusual that a team like that would underestimate because they're young, and they haven't been through it. They've been through the playoffs. They were high seeded last year and they lost. And this season, they got another year of playoff experience from last year. You would think that they would apply more force, and take it to the Nuggets. And we'll see. I think that Dagnall's approach in just throwing a bunch of players at the Nuggets to tire them out might be the right way. We'll see. It's going to be a long series, though, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll have more information after tonight, right? To see how tonight
takes. Yeah, they're starting right now, right? Right.
No, so, because right now half the road teams are 2-0 now.
Yeah, dude. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy, man? Anything you want to take away from this before we go to the next one?
No. I mean, just, Jokic is fantastic. And again, in my soul, I think SGA is going to win it. And
yeah, he's going to win it.
I think he had a great year, but it's killing me that Jokic doesn't get it.
There's Jokic voting fatigue is what probably,
I've
just seen that name up there all the time. They're like,
that pisses me off. And that's going to come into play a little bit down the road when we start talking about the charts that we're going to be talking about here after.
Yep.
Because I genuinely believe that if you're going to vote an MVP, you need to vote the best player, whatever that means.
It doesn't matter,
correct.
Right?
I don't care if he's won it 20 times in a row, man. If he's the best player, he's the best player.
I mean, look at Barry Bonds. I think, he's a seven-time MVP winner?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
You're the best guy.
You're the best guy, man.
You're the best guy. It doesn't matter. There shouldn't be any voting fatigue. I hear you.
So, when we get into arguments about who the greatest of all time is, people use this and, like, what's its real weight? You know, that's really what you got to discuss. What's
right, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, right? Yes, we have this short. We're going to get into it.
A little preview.
We're going to get into it, man. So, yeah. All right, man, let's go on to the next, the last series that we're going to cover, and that's the Warriors, our Warriors against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yep. And I got to tell you, man, you know, the hamstring strain heard around the world, bro. You know, Steph Curry got injured, you know, essentially early on, you know, into this game where he only played essentially, 12 minutes. And you can see in that 12 minutes, he was very effective. He is the highest fantasy points per minute on the team. You'll see, followed by Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler played a full 41. Steph Curry, we just learned he had an MRI today and he does have a grade one strained, he has a grade one strained hamstring, and anytime you hear strain, it's another word for tear. All right. So, grade one means it's a minor tear, right? But the thing is that Curry has never had a muscle injury in his whole career. He's had knee issues, right?
Ankle
but he issues. Hasn't, and he's had like, you know, hand and thumb, wrist issues, but he's never had like a muscle, a deep tissue muscle issue. And the Warriors, historically, are very, very conservative when it comes to providing rest for their injured players. And, you know, the thing is that I think Curry's going to push them to put him in earlier because, you know, this is why they brought in Butler, because they want to give Curry and Draymond another ring, right? So they're going to go after it very aggressively to see if he can come back as early as game three. I think that the original estimates that I've heard from various, you know, medical opinions that you hear on the web, it's usually about a 2-week recovery from something like this, right? But, you know, with a lot of treatment, a lot of rest, this and that, you can probably accelerate it maybe a few days, but 2 weeks is the typical conservative estimate. And usually when the Warriors hear, you know, when they hear that kind of an estimate, they usually go maybe 2 weeks later after that, right? But they can't afford to do that this time, right?
For me, and again, you know, you do what you got to do, but to me, this is I personally draw a direct correlation with them losing Game 6. Had they won Game 6, I don't think this happens. I think this is a fatigue injury. You know, he's been playing a lot of minutes. He's been doing a lot. He's 37 years old. It takes him longer to bounce back. And so, to me, had they won Game 6 at home, I don't think we're talking about this. That's my own personal belief. But it is what it is. You know, they won in Game 7. You got to do what you got to do. I don't necessarily think that he shouldn't have played 42 minutes or 40 plus minutes in Game 7. I think you need him, you know, and so you do what you got to do. But to me, they blew an opportunity to end this in 6. You know, they could have won it in 5, but, you know, I'll give Houston. Houston's a tough team. They win at home. Warriors go back to the San Francisco. They win there. It's over. You know, then you get 3 or 4 days of rest.
You get play 2 more Minnesota days extra.
Sunday. Yeah, you play Minnesota on Sunday and off you go. But that wasn't the case, and this is the cost.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But you know what? Next man up, man. All right. They have a deep team, man. And I got to tell you, this, in my opinion, is Jonathan Kuminga's time to shine. He needs to step up. And right now, he hasn't really stepped up. You know, the other guys have stepped up. You know, you have, you know, Moses Moody was a little hit and miss last game. Kevon Looney has been like steady, right? That guy has been playing really, really well, man. Yeah. But Buddy Hield, dude, the last two games, I think have been his best playoff games ever in his whole career, man.
He's Batman now. Haven't you heard? He's Batman now.
Dude, he's like Alfred. He's calling himself Alfred now, right?
Yeah. Because in the interview of the end of the Houston game, he went on there and he goes, I was Batman today.
Well, yeah, he had to be today, right?
Yeah, it's like, I'm Batman today.
Yeah. But, you know, that's funny. You got all of these, like, Marvel comic, or not, they're DC. They're not Marvel, they're DC. Yeah. You
know, be careful, don't piss off our viewers.
Yeah, you have Joker, who's the Joker, right? Yeah. And then you have Riddler, I think, who's Dylan Brooks. And then you have Batman being the Steph Curry, Robin being, you know, Jimmy Butler. Now Alfred maybe being Buddy Hield.
Yeah, you got the whole gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, in this game, you know, Pods needs to play a little bit better offensively.
Yes.
You know, Moody, man, that guy's lost right now. I don't share your same optimism as Kuminga. I hope that he can.
They have to lean on him, bro. And he's shown that he can do it.
You know, to me, to some degree, I almost prefer to give Gui Santos more minutes. Just because he's not going to – his upside is nowhere near that of Kuminga's, but he's going to give you effort. He's going to get rebounds. And I like his stroke from three-point line a lot better than I like Kuminga's. And And so for me, you know, I'd give some of those minutes to Santos. I mean, Kuminga's the more athletic player, but he doesn't have a lot in his repertoire. It's just, you know, just one move and then like hope that he gets fouled or he goes in and makes the dunk. That seems to be kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, he's more of a one-on-one kind of player right now. The read-and-react offense isn't really the best thing, right? But this is his opportunity, man. They have to use him.
I'm going to tell you someone that could potentially be a little bit of a dark horse here, and that's Pat Spencer.
Pat Spencer?
Yes. Pat Spencer may get some minutes here, and the good thing about Pat Spencer is that there's not a lot of footage on him. You know, you don't know how to scout for him yet. You don't know.
You know, and so that
you and I have talked about that in the past. You know, you get kind of like these rookie players or these people that come in and replace the star, and they do good for the first three or four games, and they're like, man, this guy's great. And they're like, yeah, it's because the league hasn't figured him out yet. Hold on, give it a minute. And him coming in, you know, we get two or three games out of him. That's two or three wins, hopefully. Yeah. That might be enough to get us past this series and then move on.
Well, yeah, but, you know, look how many people they used in that last game. They used 12 people, and I think they're going to do that again, man. Yeah. They're going to do that again against the Wolves because the Wolves essentially pretty much run an eight-man rotation, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're Naz Reid is a consistent six-man of the year candidate. The guy's a player. He's always plays well against the Warriors. Dante DiVincenzo definitely has some motivation coming back to the team that he left, you know, about a year and a half ago. You know, he left them to go to the Knicks, and then the Knicks, you know, traded him to come to the Wolves, right? So, you know, I thought, you know, Dante DiVincenzo is someone I always liked on the Warriors, man. I thought he was a great fit. I thought I loved him out of college. I wanted him to be drafted by the Warriors, but he didn't fall to him. But, you know, the main starting five of the Wolves, they just looked a little sluggish. They just looked a little bit out of sync. I expect them to be coming back with a lot of force next game because realistically, I think, you know, we talked about this before we got on the podcast. I think it was a blessing that the Warriors played against the Houston Rockets because in my opinion, I think the Houston Rockets are probably the most rugged defensive team.
The most physical team that the Warriors are going to face this.
Correct. In the entire playoffs, I think. The only team that can pretty match them from an intensity standpoint is probably Oklahoma City Thunder. But I still think that the Houston Rockets, the only reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder defensive rating was probably better is because they're a better offensive team, right?
Yeah.
Houston had, and they're one of the worst offensive teams in the league, but yet their defense was like really, really freaking good. And dude, they were a problem. So what happened is I think the Warriors, they just kind of had to up their intensity against the Rockets and they maintained that intensity going to the Wolves. And the Wolves had, you know, they just never really could react to that and didn't adjust. And they have to come back next game with a lot of force, because the Warriors are playing, you know, desperate right now because their leader, in Batman, Stephen Curry, is going to be out, right? And so they have to step it up. And I think Jimmy Butler
I think the key player for the Wolves in terms of the starters is Julius Randle.
Yeah.
To me, he's going to be the key guy because Mike Conley's an old veteran. He's going to give you what he gives you. You're not going to expect much. Jaden McDaniels, you know, he's a big guy that can, you know, play some D, a perimeter guy. He's pretty good. And Rudy Gobert, he's never, at least for the Warriors' perspective, he's never really been a threat. You know, he's never been anyone you got to worry about. But Julius Randle.
Defensively, yes.
But Julius Randle is the guy. I think they're going to go as Julius Randle goes. Now, a couple things that I noted in this game was, one, Anthony Edwards' first half, he was really off. And I saw him touching his ankle a couple of times. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if his ankle's sore, if he has some sort of ankle injury. You know, he got a little bit better towards the end. He got quite a bit of and-ones, but he was never his kind of jump-over-you dunk, you know, kind of scenario. Yep. Everything was kind of a little layup, a little push shots, things like that. You know, so I noticed him, and then, you know, Naz Reid fell in the game, and he had a little hitch in his giddy up there.
He did.
You know, for most of the second half. So that's another one that I'm curious, you know,
you
what
have
they're
to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, what's going on? And as you mentioned, you know, Dante, he's solid. Terrence Shannon playing even just a minute was kind of surprising to me. I didn't expect to see him. Go ahead.
They might play him more.
Well, remind me, and I forget his name now, the point guard that they traded San Antonio for, the rookie.
The point guard that they traded with San Antonio?
Yeah.
The Wolves you're talking about, right?
Yes, the Wolves, yeah. Does that guy not play at all? I'll find his name here in a minute.
Oh, you're talking about Dillingham.
Yeah.
Rob Dillingham. No.
Yeah.
Nothing. Rob Dillingham does not play. He hardly plays. I don't know if he's on the playoff roster, but he hardly played in the regular season.
So that's a little surprising to me.
It is. And I think it's the size. The size is the issue with that guy. And that's probably
why. Can replace Mike Conley's a small dude.
I mean, but he's got a lot of veteran savvy, man. You know, and I think that's probably why Chris Finch leans on him, because he doesn't make mistakes, whereas Rob Dillingham will make mistakes because he's a young player. And typically the young players, you know, they have to make mistakes to learn. So
yeah,
he can't afford that.
It's a good opportunity for him to get some experience, especially if he's going to be the point of the future.
Yeah.
I was just a little surprised he didn't even get more than, you know, he could have played that 1 minute Terrence Shannon played. You know,
Terrence Shannon's a big dude, right? He's a big dude, and he's a very athletic guy. And they just, you know, they're just playing to see if they can catch, you know, fire, right? What's that term? Fire in a bottle or fireworks, whatever it is called, right? If they can just get that kind of, impact immediately. If they see it in that 1 or 2 minutes, you'll get more minutes. But if they don't do it, then they don't see time again, which is essentially what happened with Terrence Shannon. So,
yeah.
All right, bro. Any other comments before we move on?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Moving on.
All right. So here we're going to go ahead and show you, you know, I've been keeping track of all the stats, and you can see here, what you're seeing here in the first table on the left is the top 15 overall fantasy points. And that's a stat accumulation of points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, and turnovers. There are also turnovers that are included in here. And you can see the number one guy is Nikola Jokic. The guys that are in red are now out. They're out of the playoffs, but they still have more points than the guys that are still in the playoffs, right? So you can see that Alperen Şengün has 350.6 points, and the nearest guy that's to him is Jamal Murray, who's going to surpass him by next game. So Alperen Şengün's name will continue to drop. I think LeBron James is probably going to be dropping in the next, probably by the next series, right? And James Harden as well will be very close.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys that are still playing are the ones that you're going to see up here. But I wanted to kind of give you an idea that, you know, you can see the separation between Nikola Jokic, 483 points, and the next closest guy is Alperen Şengün at 350.6. That's crazy, right?
And the next closest guy that's active is his teammate by over 150 points.
Yes. Isn't that crazy? It just goes to show you how effective this guy. Now, what's interesting, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not in here. And the main reason is because he hasn't played as many games as Nikola Jokic, right? Now, if Shai, you know, if we look at the amount of, you know, fantasy points per minute, he'll be pretty close to what Nikola Jokic is, but not in the same realm. But if you go to the next, the right side, you can see the top 15 in fantasy points per minute. That's essentially showing the efficiency of a player accumulating stats in the time that he plays. And you can see Giannis Antetokounmpo is the number one guy at 1.69 points per minute. Now, you saw Donovan Mitchell in the last game for the Cavs had something like 2.2. That's the highest for one game. But this is an accumulative of all the games. So you can see Giannis is at 1.69, and Nikola Jokic is right there at 1.50, all the way down. And Aaron Gordon has now appeared on this one, and he appeared in the last one because he's been playing really well in the playoffs, man. But you see Steph Curry. He's the one and only Golden State Warrior, although Jimmy Butler is going to be approaching there shortly because Steph Curry is going to be out for at least a couple of games, in my opinion. Yeah. He might even miss this entire series, but hopefully that's not the case. So, anyway, any comments, questions before we move on to the next segment, bro?
No. Just like, I noticed, you know, there's 1, 2, 3 Denver players on the chart on the left and 3 Denver players on the chart on the right. I just find that fascinating. You know, you brought up Spider-Man there, and another, that's a Marvel guy, but he's not on either list.
That's right. He's a Marvel
fascinating
guy.
Fascinating as well.
Well, he is on this list. He's number 10. Spider-Mitchell. You're talking about
Spider-Mitchell. Yeah, Spider-Mitchell. Yeah, he's not on this list.
Oh, Spider. I thought you meant Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
he's not on here.
Because Mitchell's not even on this list, which is a little shocking to me. You know,
he's played only six, because he's only played 6 games now.
Yeah.
Right?
And, some observations here, but, you know, I'm thinking when someone drops from the list on the left, we should probably drop them from the list on the right.
Oh, that's what I do. I do that.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I definitely do that. Yeah, because
Giannis is probably going to stay at number one the whole playoffs.
He's going to stay up there. But, you know, I just wanted – I think it's important for people to see how effective that guy is, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So, all right, man. So, let's go on to the next one. We're going to go ahead and talk about the teams that have been eliminated. So,
all right.
I think this was your team, bro.
This is me, yeah. So the remaining team in the Eastern Conference, that was eliminated. Oh, they should say round one, not round two. I apologize. That was left to be eliminated in round one was the Detroit Pistons. They lost in game seven, I believe, right? They played seven games.
That's correct.
Yeah, they lost in game seven.
No, it was six.
New York.
Six.
Oh,
it was six. Six.
Okay, it was six. Yeah. Okay, so they lost in game six. Just some observations for me, Detroit as a team. People that have been listening here now, even this show, know that I picked Detroit to beat New York. You know, in game one, Detroit had like a 21-point lead with like, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, and New York managed to come back and win it. I believe it was game three, the first home game in Detroit. There was a foul that wasn't called with pretty much no time left on the clock that had they called the foul, you know, Detroit would have shot the free throws and most likely won that game. So I think Detroit was really, really close to winning this series, even though it went out in six games. So I'm just saying that because to me, the overall assessment, I put them as a team on the rise. I think they're on the rise. I don't even know, like off the top of my head, you know, I don't know, you know, what they need. Like right off the top of my head, I'm not even sure what they need because they got a lot of what they need already.
Yeah, I think that they need one more vet. All right. Now, the vets that are on the team, you know, you have Tobias Harris, you have Tim Hardaway Jr., and you have Dennis Schroeder, right? Dennis Schroeder came in mid-season through a trade, right?
Yep.
Malik Beasley has been around too, so you got to give it to him too. But I think, you know, the one thing, they just need more time together, man. They're definitely
team
on the rise, you know? Exactly. And I think that, you know, maybe one other veteran kind of scoring type, and Malik Beasley is that type, but somebody who can create his own chart, like a Jordan Clarkson, for instance.
Yeah.
Like someone like that would be really good for this team.
Yeah.
You know, someone who can come off the bench and score, right? And that I think would put this team over the top. Someone like that. So
yeah, and I believe Dennis Schroeder's a free agent at the end of this year, so they're gonna have to see it. I mean, my guess is he would want to return. Asar, not so much as much as Amen, but Asar Thompson really stepped up this series as well. He had a really good series. Both those brothers they're pretty good, man. Both
you're
those
super
guys
athletic,
are,
man.
Yeah,
they're
both pretty good. In terms of statistics, you know, Detroit was almost 110 points here, which made them 13th best in the playoffs. From a defensive rating, they allowed 111 points. They were towards the bottom. You know, this is out of 16 teams. Their net rating was in the negative. Obviously, they lost the series, so that puts them towards the bottom. They were, you know, their starter scoring was at 76 points. So again, puts them towards the bottom in terms of numbers of points. Their bench was a little better than the average, right? If you take eight being the average, they were a little better than the average. You can see here their starters, their rotation, that's all there. But like I said, I think they're a team on the rise. I think there's someone that, you know, I don't know what their, and I'm sure we'll get to it in the coming weeks. I don't know what their draft status is and where they're at, if they have any like higher picks due to trades or anything like that. But I think this team's a good team. I feel about them how I felt about Memphis last year. I think that this team has the potential to be a top three team next year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think if Isaiah Stewart actually had played, I think that would have made a difference, you know, because Jalen Duren, you know, is a very, very good young talented center. You know, Paul Reed is the guy who, you know, kind of spelled him when he needed the rest. But Isaiah Stewart, you know, he knows the team more than Paul Reed and knows kind of the plays more and this and that, you know. So I think he would have made a difference if he didn't get hurt. So
yeah,
but
he's got a little crazy to him, and you know
that's
yeah, that's
yeah, man. All right, man. So let's go on to the next one. So this is my team. So the Los Angeles Clippers, it should be round one elimination. They were eliminated in round one. You can see that their offensive rating, they were top five in the playoffs for offensive rating, at scoring 115.6 points. Defensive rating, they're near at the bottom, which is surprising. And it's mainly because it's a small sample size. You know, they lost in the series, right? If they had been winning, then that defensive rating would have been different. But their net rating is still positive. They're right above, a little bit above the middle, right, at seven, eight being right in the middle. If you look at their starters, they score their ninth. They're 84.7 points. They're ninth. They're a little bit worse than average as far as against everybody else that were in the playoffs. But their bench scoring, it's surprising, right? They're 10th. The 23.6 is actually a pretty paltry number, man, if you look at it with the talent that they have on this team, right? Now, you look at that, you know, if you look at their starting five, their starting five is legit, okay? They have scoring galore in Harden and Kawhi. You have Ivica Zubac, who's an emerging center, right? I mean, he had the best season of his career this year. Norman Powell, is somebody who's been kind of in and out of the lineup from injuries. And, you know, he's one of these, you know, kind of microwave scorers that can kind of hit, you know, he's been put in the starting lineup because he's always been more of a sixth man for these guys, but he got put in the starting lineup this year. But you can see that their bench, they're just a very good team. Chris Dunn is a very good defensive minded guy. Bogdan Bogdanovic is a very good scoring threat off the bench. He'd be another good fit for the Detroit Pistons, right? Someone like that who can score coming off the bench. Nicholas Batum, man, that guy played well in this series, man. He played, and he's one of the older guys in the league too. But I think, you know, what they need, is they need a backup center. I mean, Drew Eubanks is a decent, serviceable backup, but I think they need somebody more assertive than that guy to replace Ivica Zubac. I mean, who would that be? You know, I haven't even thought of it, but, you know, maybe make a trade for like a Brook Lopez. I don't know. Someone like that, right? I mean, he would be a great fit for them. I mean, he's exactly similar. I mean, not similar style, but he can play like Ivica Zubac and he's a big dude. And the thing is, the one other glaring weakness of this team is that they need a backup point guard badly, dude. Chris Dunn isn't really a traditional point guard, right? He's a defensive minded point guard, but I think they need someone who has a similar skill set to James Harden that, you know, is a distributor, can score a little bit. You know, I mean, there's no other James Harden's in the league, right? But I'm just saying that someone has a similar kind of a makeup as far as skill set, right? Someone like that would be a good backup point guard for these guys. So that's my breakdown. This team is on the rise, man. They just need one little tweak here and there. I probably could have bolded both of those. One team on the rise and small tweaks needed because That's it. They're going to be a problem. As long as Kawhi Leonard is healthy, they are a problem, bro.
I have a couple of observations on this team. Two, I think, big ones. Number one, James Harden has consistently proven how poor he plays in the postseason.
Yeah,
he is a poor performer in the. I don't want to use the choke word because I'm not gonna use that. But he just struggles when you get to the postseason. You look up his stats, historically, he's a poor postseason player. Number two, I don't trust Kawhi's injuries, like his being healthy. Yeah. I genuinely thought the Clippers were a dark horse to win the whole thing this year.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
And even though I agree that from this season, they are a team on the rise, I don't know if the stars are going to line up next year, how they lined up this year. And Kawhi just has a track record of missing a lot of the season, and so I don't know what their future holds. If they're all healthy and James Harden can find a way to be a better performer in the postseason, absolutely, they are on the rise and they will be someone to deal with. But those are big ifs for me.
No, that's a good call, man. But if he is healthy, whew, man.
No, if Kawhi is healthy, you know, I think I mentioned this last week. He'd be one of the best players in the NBA.
Absolutely.
If he just had a better injury health, you know.
Yep.
He is a fascinating player.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? You know, for the next segment, which we're almost getting there, but on this index that we're going to talk about, I have yet to do his yet, but I probably will now that we're talking about him. So
yeah,
that's a little sneak peek of what's to come. All right, man. Let's go to the next team, man.
All right, the next team is me, the Houston Rockets. Obviously, you got a good dose of the Houston Rockets this year. What's interesting is they rank ninth right across the board.
Wow.
Yeah, I checked these numbers like three times, making sure, like, am I doing something wrong? They're ninth across the board. And if you look, their offensive rating and defensive rating was just about the same, which tells you how close these games were against the Warriors. Like, basically, because this is really the series against the Warriors is what you're looking at. And so the ones that they won were of great distance, and the ones that they lost were, you know, of kind of just barely losing. So they're right in a little bit worse in the middle of the pack, but, you know, they actually, in my opinion, their offensive rating was higher than I would have expected because they are a pretty
good offensive team. That's the call. I agree with you.
Right? Yeah. Now, what saved their bacon was Fred VanVleet, like, lit up. He lit up. He's what saved. I'd be interested again. If I pulled these numbers after like game three, they might have been like 17th on the offensive rating because they just couldn't score. But anyway, that's their, you know, their starter scoring. I wouldn't say they were starter heavy, but you know, they're eighth in the league. Their bench scoring was 11th with 23 points, which is pretty good for the starters. I mean, I think once you get to the postseason, you really want your starters to be the bulk of your
for sure
of your money of your points. Sure. So yep. In terms of strengths, you know, great young players. With one exception, Jalen Green. That dude, he had one really great game, and then he really played like crud. But Amen Thompson, dude, if that guy figures out a mid-range shot,
he's a beast.
Dude, it's over. Dude, he's I'm telling beast. You right now, it's
he's like
over.
Kawhi Leonard, bro.
Yes, it is over. If that guy learns any type of offense, you know, yeah. just shooting a nice little stroke, dude, it is over. This team, man, I felt like we were fighting the Incredible Hulk. Like, you couldn't get him off of you. Like, you know, and then Sengun, who isn't really, doesn't look physical.
Yeah.
He's like a heavy sack of potatoes, dude. Like, you can't freaking sure. move him. You yeah. know, and then, of course, Adams, who, like, is a mountain of a man, you know.
Dude.
Really neutralized.
Problem in the series.
Yeah, no, they're just a problem. They're a great defensive team, great rebounding team. You know, with Amen Thompson, he's just moving around. He's quick as a cat. Like, just great, great team. And as I put, their weaknesses are scoring. You know, yep. Consistent shooting. They just can't do it. You know, there's been rumors of players that they're looking at. I'm of the belief that they're going to try to trade Jalen Green. You know, he was viewed as the player to build around. I think the player to build around is Amen Thompson with maybe getting someone that could be kind of better than both of them so that you have – if you get someone like Durant, for example, Durant's your one, Amen Thompson's your two, Sengun's your three. That's kind of your – if they can do something like that, and it doesn't have to necessarily be Durant, but someone, you know, that could be their number one scorer, this team's going to be hard to stop. So they're a very solid team. One mistake, in my humble opinion, and I mentioned this to you, Eddie. I think that the coach did Jabari Smith a disservice. Jabari Smith was having a good series.
He was, man.
He should have played more. He should have played more. And I don't.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake. Had he played more, I think they could have won this series. It was that close. But they're overall a team on the rise. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Jalen Green. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, I guess I could also have highlighted small tweaks, but this is definitely a team on the rise, and they're going to be someone to reckon with here in the future.
Oh, I agree with you, man, 100%. Good analysis, man.
All right,
on to the next one. This is our last one, then we're going to cover our last segment, which I think will be a very interesting segment. All right,
yeah.
So the last team that we're covering here are the Los Angeles Lakers. They were eliminated in the round one. You can see that their offensive rating is at 12. And the defensive rating is at 13 near the bottom. It's because they lost in five games to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you can see that they were 12th ranked in that rating. Their starter scoring is number three. They lean heavily on their big three. And their big three are a problem, man. You got Luka, you got LeBron, you got Austin Reeves. Those three right there together are very, very good. Now they just have to figure out the rest around them, right? So their strengths are two superstars, Luka and LeBron. But the thing is when we saw this trade go down, Twan, we both didn't like it, man.
No.
We both didn't like it. We're like, dude, this is like a flawed roster, man. What are they thinking, man? It's like they have no bigs now, right? And it showed that showed its ugly head in the playoffs because J.J. Redick didn't even play Jackson Hayes that much at all. And I think they could have played maybe like, you know, someone like a Jared Vanderbilt at that center, right? But they went small. They went small ball because that's kind of their strength from an offensive standpoint. They suffer a little bit defensively because of that, because we all know Luka is not really a defensive-minded guy. Rui is here and there. Dorian Finney-Smith is. LeBron is, but he's old, right? And Austin's kind of hit and miss on the defense too. I mean, he tries. He does. He's an undrafted guy, right? But, you know, that's surprising. That guy's went undrafted, believe it or not. That guy's a good player right now. But, you know, they really don't have a center. And that's their biggest weakness. And that's their – they need to make a move. They need to go and try and get freaking Mark Williams, man, again.
Yeah.
That
was an interesting move how they rescinded that trade. And, you know, the thing that – I don't want to say he wasn't appreciated because that's not what I feel is happening here. But I think they got spoiled by Anthony Davis, and I don't think they truly understood the value of a big.
Because
he was there, and he did so many things.
He did so much.
Yeah, and I think that they just didn't even think about it. And then when they – and, of course, obviously, they want to trade for Luka. Luka's the future. I get all that. But, you know, that when they rescinded the Mark Williams trade, I'm like, dude, I don't know if that's a good move because you got no bigs. And lo and behold – and, you know, and I picked them to win this series because I just thought that – you know, Luka had a good series against Minnesota last year. You know, between him and LeBron, I thought they could pull it off, but you know, I was wrong.
Yeah, but they, you know, you got to give it to. I mean, what's interesting is that the organization has definitely put the keys in Luka's hands to be the player of the future, right? But what's interesting is that LeBron was still the best player in the series for the Lakers at 40 years old, man. So
that's not good. You don't want to.
That I know. Well, the thing is, you heard JJ Redick come, you know, essentially say after, you know, that this team isn't championship ready. They need to be conditioned championship, you know, be championship ready from a conditioning standpoint. He's definitely pointing the finger at Luka Doncic when he made that comment,
which is going to be interesting how that progresses.
Yes.
Because Luka's due for a new contract. Yep. They're going to pay him a lot of money, and you're already after half a season, you're already questioning his conditioning as a coach. That's going to be interesting.
Yep, that's interesting.
Now, to be fair, he didn't call Luka by name.
He did, but we all knew what he was talking about, man.
No, but he had to know, JJ had to know that if he brings up conditioning, everyone's going to think he's talking about
Luka. It's going to be talking about Luka.
He is or he isn't, he's got to know that that's what they're going to be thinking. So correct. To me, he was talking about Luka.
Correct, yeah. Man. So, all right, man. So let's go ahead and get to the next segment, man.
All right.
Actually, before we even show that slide, bro, let's go ahead and I want you to go ahead. You can take it off for a second. And then,
okay. All right.
So you and I, we had lunch last week, man. And you brought this topic up and I ran with it, bro, as far as trying to figure it out. Cause you know, the engineer in me wanted to figure it out. So I want you to explain why you did what you did and what we're going to talk about next.
Absolutely. So, you know, as Eddie mentioned in the past, you know, we watch a lot of shows. We watch a lot of, you know, ESPN shows, podcast shows, talk radio, you know, and my whole life, all I hear is people arguing who's the greatest, you know, who's the greatest at this and who's the greatest at that. And, you know, and part of me enjoys the banter, right? You go to a bar and, you know, like I'll give you an example, you know, Tom Brady's probably the greatest quarterback in all time. But to me, it's Joe Montana because he was the Niner and that's a personal thing. But obviously, right. If I look at it objectively, right? Of course, Tom Brady's greater. I mean, he's just had more success. So I started kind of thinking about this and I'm going, you know, we got all these stats. We got all these numbers. And the thing that used to piss me off is like if you're a Jordan guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're like, oh, Jordan got more championships than LeBron, so Jordan's greater, right? You hear people saying that. But then I turn around and go, but Bill Russell has 11. Why does Bill Russell's 11 not count, but yet Jordan's count more? Like, I don't understand how we having these discussions when you're using the argument only to benefit you, right? So I started thinking to myself, you know, we've got all of these things. You know, we've got MVPs, we've got all NBAs, we've got statistics out the wazoo, right? Why don't we create a system that we all can agree on, that this is the value of said system, so then we can begin actually looking at these guys and seeing where they rank. Now, obviously, there's going to be some things that you can never rank. Right. When Bill Russell played, there was less teams in the league. There was potentially less athletic players in the league. Right. And today's players, not people in the 80s and 90s talk about the physicality. And today it's a little easier. And now, you know, players take. So there's those things that can still be subjective. But the stats are objective. You know, how many championships, how many finals MVPs, how many defensive players of the year? How many all-defensive? How many all-NBA? How many rebounds? How many points? How many turnovers, for example? We never talk about turnovers. Right. Turnover is a negative stat,
absolutely.
Right? So if let's pick on Magic Johnson, and I don't mean to, but let's say Magic Johnson has, oh, my God, he has, you know, 20,000 assists, but he has 10,000 turnovers. Like, you're going to go, well, hold on a minute. You know, like, that's got to count for something. So in my head, I'm kind of going, and Eddie and I are talking, and I'm going, Eddie, if we figure out a way to kind of get something that people agree to, you know, then we can go. Now, some of my initial thought process, now Eddie's done a lot of the work here, so I'm not going to take credit for any of that. But, you know, my initial is, you know, the way I kind of initially looked at it is the less team-oriented, the more value, right? Yes. And let me explain what I mean by that, right? If somebody wins an MVP, you're one of 400 players. Right. So that should have some weight. Now, I'm going to kind of talk out of both sides of my mouth. At the same time, MVP is voted by media, who they like, who they don't like. So that kind of bugs me a little bit, right? Because I'm thinking just vote for the best guy, right?
There's as a matter of fact,
yeah, as a matter of fact, if they had like a grid like this, you wouldn't even have to vote. You can just track it.
That's exactly why we're doing this, right? Yes.
There's the MVP. Like, there's no discussion about this, right? And so to me, why trust it to the media? Because some of them got gripes, some of them don't like, some of them don't even watch certain players. You know, they don't know, right? So anyway, that was kind of my thought process. So I'm like, Eddie, you know, what if we did this value and did that value? And then Eddie, the engineering side of him, like took this and just ran with it, right? So the one thing that I'm going to ask you guys, anyone who's on live now, anyone who watches this recording down the road, you know, talk to us about what you think is not calculated correctly. Right. What should be more? Because this now is an easier conversation. Because if you tell me, oh, count championships less. Okay, we do. But then that's going to hurt championships across the board. So, like, if you're a LeBron guy, for example, and you say, well, championships should count less. Well, then maybe somebody with three championships is going to surpass LeBron because the championships count less. So you're hurt. So no matter what dial you move here, you're going to hurt the person you like. Like, there's just no way around it, right?
Correct.
So that's what I like about this. Now, I don't want to kill the traditional bar talk, you know, like, hey, this and that, and that's not the purpose of this. But I do want to at least have a conversation about, you know, like, based on these metrics, this is the greatest player. Like, you know, like, tell me what metric you don't agree with, not that you don't agree with who the player is, right, type of thing. So anyway, that was what we talked about. That's when we had lunch, and that's
– So Tuan is a good intro as to why we're doing what we're doing. We wanted to bring objectivity to the concept of the greatest players of all time. We wanted to come up with some kind of a scale, an index, if you will. We actually are calling it the Player Greatness Index. We had been trying, we were playing with that name for quite some time. We didn't know. I had all kinds of different names. Tuan threw out some of the names. We kind of settled on this, but, you know, if this thing does catch on where, like, other, you know, sports take on this concept, we might have to call it something else, like the Athlete Greatness Index or something a little bit more generic, right? Because,
players, I think, is okay because you have
football players, you have basketball players.
They're all players.
Right. They're all players. But then, you know, what about if you have individual sports like, you know, boxing, MMA, whatever it is,
that's true.
Submissions, you know, they have their own categories, right? Whatever it is, right? So that's why I thought it might be, you know, better for down the line. But for right now, this is an exclusive Gremlings Media Buzzer Beaters name, okay? This is called the Player Greatness Index. And we're going to go ahead and show you how we went about doing this. So, Tuan, you can go ahead and show up the slide that we left off of.
Yep.
And now, there's going to be a lot of information here, but I'm going to step through it a little bit and give you the rationale as to why, you know, I went ahead and chose it this way. You know, a lot of you already know, and I've said it many times, I am an electrical engineer by degree. I did practice engineering for a few years before I went to the dark side of sales, and I've been in sales for, you know, quite some time now, almost 30 years in this industry. But, you know, once in a while, this geek streak comes out of me, man, big time, okay? So what you're seeing here is we both agreed on the different categories of things that we want to go ahead and include into this index, right? So you can see there's objective accomplishments, which are their stats, what they accumulate, right? We have points. We have rebounds. We have assists, steals, blocks. You know, you see the red. Those are turnovers. Those are negatives. They're going to go against the index, right? So they're going to bring it down a lot. But the biggest thing that I had to play with is the factors, right? Because we wanted this to be more individual. You know, kind of something that is more pertinent to the individual doing it rather than the team, right? So I weighted things that the player himself really did on his own. Points, that's pretty much his thing, right? But although a lot of times they get the pass, a good pass from somebody, and they score, but they put the ball in the basket. That's the whole name of the game in basketball, is to put points. So points are points. So that's times one. For rebounds, you know, a rebound is pretty much, we could argue that's a 1-2, but I kind of wanted to, you know, I didn't want to make it too much. So with rebounding, that's a team thing too, but it's more of the individual, I think, you know. So we went ahead and weighed that at 0.75. Now, the assists, this is the one that, you know. I struggled with a little bit, but I think it makes sense after we talked about it, bro, is that, you know, an assist, you know, somebody for – in order for somebody to get an assist, the other person has to make the basket, right?
Correct.
And a lot of times
– it's a shared goal.
It's a shared thing. That's why I'm putting 50%. It's 50% the player who did the assist, that's their contribution to the overall event, right? But then you keep on going, right? You go to the steals, blocks, that's still more individual. Turnovers, I'm putting that at minus one.
It is more individual, Eddie, but I would argue here, like, for example, a rebound. A rebound is an individual stat. We can argue, like, Dennis Rodman's of the world, right? That study, you know, like, he's crazy. Like, he would study the rotation of the ball and which way he thinks the ball would go and, you know, like, historical. So, but there's also other aspects, like, are your teammates, you know, boxing out the other players? You know, like, there is a concept of a shared concept, right, there. As opposed to points, you know, points is truly an individual thing. You know, you can, you're shooting, it's just you shooting, right?
Right.
And so anyway, I just wanted to share the same thing with steals. You have a team defense, you jump the lane because someone's being bombarded by another player. You know, that's a shared accomplished blocks.
Right.
That was more individual. So maybe we could kind of have that argument, but again, it's the defense. Do they funnel them to you, you know, where you can get the block or do, you know, they, things like that. Anyway, and one thing I did want to just add as you're working your way down is, you know, we went through a couple of revisions of this and we did add postseason stats, which I'm sure he's about to talk about. And I think that this is part of the greatness factor, right? So if you're great, you step up when it counts. I just mentioned like James Harden, for example, he really had poor performances and that should hurt him somehow, you know, you know, and so anyway, I know you were on a roll. I didn't want to cut you off. I just wanted to add that.
No worries. So turnovers are the main negative, and that's the one that's probably weighed the highest as far as individual stats, as far as, you know, their contribution, because right now the points, you know, it's individualist. I would argue that the turnover is individual too, man. They're the ones who essentially made the mistake of turning the ball over, right? Yep. So that's why we're making that negative one. Now, field goal percentage, free throw percentage, I just times it by 100, so it's a number, right? It's not a percentage. And then for postseason, it's the same thing down the line. We hadn't changed anything. It's just more stats for those players who actually get to the postseason, because not everybody gets to the postseason. So if you get there, there should be some bonus points for that, right?
Yep.
So then we go to the subjective accomplishments. And this is where, you know, we were playing with the factors quite a bit, right? Now, league MVP, why do you see this times 150? The reason why is, you know, in the history of the NBA, right now we're at 30 teams, right? But it started out with like 11 teams. Then it went to 8. And I looked at the whole history. And I did the nerd thing. I did like a statistical distribution. And I looked at it like, okay, what is the mean, right? What is the mean if we were to pick an average of all, you know, in the history of the NBA, how many teams were there? Well, it's 15, right? So because now for each team, a typical rotation is probably about 10 players. So I said 10 players times 15 teams being the mean, that's how I got to 150, right? Defensive player of the year, okay? Now, you look at league MVP, that's looking at the whole overall game of the player, right? That's offense, defense, you know, all that, right? Defensive player is only one half of it, so it's only going to get half of the points of 150. So I divided the 150 by 2 to get 75. Now, for each of these the NBA all teams, you know, I wanted to go ahead and weigh it so that, you know, each time they get it from one, the second team to the first team, it doubles every time. So we start with one for third team, then it goes times two for the second team, and then times four for the first team, all NBA. So that's how we got to that point system. And then finals MVP, this was also a very tough one for me to figure out because, you know, the championship, I kind of looked at, okay, what makes sense, right? It's, we don't want to make it exactly like, you know, 150 being the waiting for an MVP, for a league MVP, because we want this to be, you know, something more individualized. So a team, a player who's going to contribute to a championship, they contribute to it, but it's not all them. So what I did is rather than making it exactly half of 150, I made a little bit more than the defensive player of the year factor, which is 75. I just made it at 80, right? Just to round it a little bit.
So you have 40 here, though, Eddie.
No, for a championship, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
For championship,
sorry.
I have 80.
Oh,
and I'm just trying to explain how I got to 40. So for the championship, I got to 80, and then half of that is the finals MVP, and that's kind of where I got the 40, the factor of 40 for the finals MVP.
Makes sense.
Then the all-star selections, you know, I put times 3 for each all-star selection. Then, you know, defensive player of the year, same kind of factor and weighting as you see in the NBA all-team. So that's how we got – this is why I wanted to explain, and I normalized everything, by the way, by the number of years they played. If they play a lot of seasons, like 20 seasons, like a Kareem, you know, it's weighted, right? It's normalized so that you can see how they do on a per season basis. Cause that's, I think, the fairest way of doing this, because not everybody plays 20 years. Some people played 10 years. Some played 14. If you look at freaking stats like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, we're not going to go ahead and do that yet. We're going to ask you guys to go ahead and participate in this, cause we're going to give you some examples, but we want you guys to go ahead and ask us to do some comparisons, right? So let's go.
Now, Eddie, we had a floor, right? We mandated that it had to be at least 10 years before. We
put yes.
Yeah.
For, but we could put anybody in this thing, right?
No, we could. Obviously, if you played 4 years, you're only going to get 4 years worth of points.
Right, so right. But then you can kind of see, like, you know,
how many points going to be?
Yeah, but you can see in that 4 year. Let's just say someone like a Drazen Petrovic, right? Who
yeah.
passed away, right, at an early age, and he was like doing very, very well before that happened. You can kind of see, you know, how he did relative to some of the greats, you know, from you know, his stats that he accumulated in that time, how he measured up, right? You can kind of see that, right? So, but yeah, for you to be considered an all-time great in our scale, you want to play at least 10 years, right? At least. Yeah. But we can measure anybody, right? That's the whole thing. This is a great way to relatively see how good a player is versus all the greats, right? So let's go to the next slide, bro.
All right, here we go.
All right. So this is a lot of information here, man. But what you see here is all the categories that you showed in the previous slide. I'm going to go ahead and remove this right here so you can see it. Okay. All the categories that I showed in the previous slide, those are all in the far left column, right? So you just saw all of that, all the things that I showed there, they're all right here. But I wanted you to see how these are calculated. Now, I'm not going to go through each calculation individually, but I went ahead and did a PGI index comparison of Carmelo Anthony versus Bernard King, because this is the very first comparison I did, because nice. These guys are both New York players. They're both very highly regarded New York players. Bernard King, I would say, is probably the guy that most New York media would say, he's Mr., you know, Nick, if it's not Walt Frazier, right? You know, because of how good he was in the playoffs. But you can see right here, Carmelo Anthony, his PGI index at the very end, okay, is 2,175.9
yep.
versus Bernard King at 2,154. And the reason being, you know, you can see the contributions. Right now, one of the biggest contributions that Carmelo had is All-Star selections versus Bernard King. You know, he beats him by 21 points on that front, right? Bernard yep. King gets more NBA all teams, right? But it's not that big of a factor. But you can see how many points Carmelo has done over his 19-year career. His average is probably better than Bernard King's, right? But I just want to kind of see that we weighted, you know, the categories from the points all the way down to the field goal percentage and free throw percentages. You know, the turnovers up towards the negatives, the reds, that's where I normalized it to the amount of years that they played, you know, for the regular season. And then these other ones are postseason. I normalized the postseason to how many years they played in the postseason. So it's a truer comparison, right? But you can see, according to our PGI index, for Carmelo Anthony is slightly better than Bernard King.
Yep. What's interesting about this list is he's better even though he committed significantly more turnovers.
Exactly.
Right? And exactly. when you look at postseason rebounds, right, that factor leads me to either believe he's played in a lot more postseason games or he was a far superior rebounder in the postseason to Bernard King.
Yes. But you see how objective this is now, right?
Correct.
Everybody's being used. Everybody's being crunched into the same system, and there is no favoritism, right? Everybody's
exactly.
Right?
And so some of you out there may go, well, you know, points in the postseason should be worth twice as much, let's just say, right? They should be worth 2 points each. Okay, add it up. You're still going to get the same separation.
Right.
Right? Because it's the same factor. You can't split the two. Whatever impacts one is going to impact the other, and which is why I wanted, you know, that's why we were talking about a system like this.
Right. So let's go to the next comparison, because this is something that's always talked about. And I don't know why the thing came out like the way it
is. Yeah, sorry. I'll do a better job of fixing it going forward.
All right. So Charles Barkley versus Karl Malone, probably considered the two of the best power forwards we have seen, along with Tim Duncan, right? I didn't do that. I just, you know, Tim Duncan, we could do it another time. I want the audience to tell us some of the comparisons they'd like to see. We'll go ahead and continue to do this throughout, you know, all of our podcasts. We'll do our own comparisons. But if there's other guys that you want us to compare against, let us know. Now, we're not going to go ahead and tell you who the all-time great is just yet. We're going to do that in time, all right? But we're going to go ahead and continue doing this with various people. Maybe we'll do comparisons of Charles Barkley versus someone who's playing today and see how they compare, right? You know, same kind of thing. There's a lot of ways that we can play this and figure it out. But anyway, you can see here, Charles Barkley, his number is 2,796.7 versus Karl Malone's at 3,440.8. You can see that Karl Malone is significantly higher from RPGI index rating over Charles Barkley. And you can see why. What are the big differentiators right now, right? You can see that, you know, he has one more league MVP. He's got way more NBA all teams. He's got way more all-star selections. You can see that he has defensive player of the year awards. You can see that he's done a lot more on some of these subjective accomplishments, but he's done a lot even on the more objective accomplishments, because he scores, he's like the third leading scorer of all time, right? So you can see that, you know, he has more rebounds, but I would say, I'd probably argue that he has less rebound impact than Charles Barkley in the years that he was playing, right? Because, you know, he played three more years than Charles Barkley, and Charles Barkley almost has roughly about the same amount of rebounds, right? But you can see here, you know, that even though Karl Malone has way more turnovers compared to Charles Barkley, it's normalized, right? And, and so it's not going to necessarily be a big detractor, or it's not going to have a big impact on him. So anyway, so that's the next one, bro.
But to me, you know, a sign of greatness is how many years do you play in the postseason? How many times do you get your team into the playoffs, right? That's what this is about, right? And Karl Malone, six more years.
He took all years. Every year he played, he was in the playoffs.
Every time he played. Now people will go, well, you know, whatever. But these are facts. This he was part of those teams. So interesting stuff. I think this is just fascinating. And I'm, for the audience out there that watches this either live or recording, we really want your feedback on this, because I think this is really, really cool.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. All right, let's go to the next one. I think I had maybe one or two more.
Why am I not?
No,
that's it, I think.
That's it. Okay, I only did two. Yeah. Okay, so there we go. I teased it for you guys, all right? So we wanted to go ahead and introduce this index to you guys. It's something that we worked on together, and you know, this is an exclusive thing that we are doing, right? I mean, you guys are, you know, whoever's seeing this is going to probably try and copy it and do their own thing. And that's fine, but it starts the conversation, right? It helps us kind of get to the point that we want to determine the true objectivity in determining the greatest player of all time in the NBA. And this is translatable. We haven't done it for these other sports like NFL or NHL or MLB, but it can be done, right? We just have to come up with a weighting system that makes sense. We just wanted to throw out the idea out there that we just wanted to have stop the subjective banter about who the greatest is. We want to talk about it objectively, and this is our way of showing, you know, objectivity to the greatest player of all time. So
I don't think I'm giving anything away, but one thing to note, there is one flaw in this system, and that flaw is that blocks and what was the other stat? Rebounds,
steals.
I think, right?
Steals.
Blocks and steals weren't always calculated for every player that we're going to score.
Correct. That comes into play with the Bill Russells of the world, the Oscar Robertsons of the world, the Will Chamberlains of the world, you know, because they didn't start keeping that stat until 1974. That's when they started keeping track of it, right?
So there is a flaw, but
yes.
But, you know, based on where they're at, you can sort of calculate what their yearly average was at that point, even though they were older, and sort of kind of come up with what you think they would have had, you know.
Yes.
You can come up with a number. It's not an actual number, but you could round it up. So, anyway, I just want to bring that up because I think some of you old schoolers, even older than me, are going to go, well, they didn't calculate all this forever. So,
exactly, man. So
we're aware of that.
Yeah, for sure, man. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed that that index conversation. We're going to go ahead and continue putting up matchups ourselves every week, probably one to two matchups every week. So we just kind of keep this conversation going. But we definitely want your participation in telling us who you want us to compare. It could be a current player, could be a Hall of Fame player, whoever, right? We'd love to kind of see your participation and ask us to do this, and then we'll go ahead and do it.
And I got one for you guys. Based on your observations of this, I want you to tell me who you think the top five players are.
Like just right, without even thinking about it, right? That's a good thing.
It doesn't even have to be in order. Just tell me who you think the top five guys are.
Based on this, we'll do that. For sure. Definitely participate in that. Because we've had our conversations about this in the past, and I think that it's skewed now after I did some of this. It's, it's, yeah, it, it, it changes my opinion.
Yeah, right? There's some eye-opening stuff that.
Some eye-opening stuff, man. So, yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're at an hour and a half, bro, and we did it. This is episode 47 of Buzzer Beaters. We covered the playoffs, the second round. Right now, there's a current game going on between the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Thunder are really taking it to.
Yeah, they're smoking the Nuggets.
We're smoking them right now, but you know, we expected them to wake up and do it, right? We didn't expect the Celtics to kind of get taken out in game two. But anyway, we broke down every series that's going on. There's only four series going on still. This is the quest to get to the championship, the NBA championship of this year. We talked about, you know, the vacation time for some of the teams that already got disqualified or eliminated from the playoffs in the first round. That was namely the Rockets, the Pistons, the Lakers, and the Clippers. We talked about our assessments about them, what they need to do in the offseason. You know, we kind of looked at their overall net rating and their offensive and defensive ratings in the playoffs. So it's good information for you guys to take. And then we introduced this concept, this thing that we created ourselves. Tuan and I created this Player Greatness Index. It's a fun topic. We're going to go ahead and talk about this each and every week and give you a different matchup every week. But we definitely want you guys to participate in this and tell us who you like us to compare against. Could be Michael Jordan. Could be Kobe Bryant. It could be Magic. It could be Larry Bird.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one, right? Magic and Larry Bird. Put them up there. Who's greater?
Who's the higher one, right? Who would you predict, right? Who would get
exactly?
Yeah, so a lot of these things, like for me, Karl Malone, that was surprising, man. That surprised the crap out of me, man. When I saw that, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and other guys that I thought like they were kind of overrated, like a Dr. J. Oh man. I don't think so, right? I know he's your childhood idol, and I don't want to say too many bad things.
And I'd be curious to hear from anyone like. Do you think we're missing a metric? Is there something there that you think we should be considering that we're not? You know?
Yes, that's not fair on
I'd
that.
I'd be interested in that, you know? Yeah.
Exactly, man. So, but anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters, episode 47. We're really close to episode 50. I have somebody lined up. I need to get confirmation to make sure that he is free and clear to join. And he is a former professional athlete. He's a friend of mine, so you might be on here. I'm still working on that, but that'll be for the 50th episode. So we're only 3 weeks away from that point, man, you know, to get to our 50th episode. But anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters, episode 47. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids. You can find us at gremlinsmedia.com. You can also find us at any popular podcast outlets you can think of, such as Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Facebook, X, Pandora, you name it. We're there. Just go ahead and call out the Gremlins Media and you'll find us. But anyway, this is Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. We're going to go ahead and sign off and have a good rest of the week.